Hello and welcome to We're Watching What? I'm your host Dana, or the DHK as I'm known, and three things up for review this week. First up, there's the new horror thriller film Abigail. Then there's the new Guy Ritchie film The Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare. And finally, the new supernatural series The Spiderwick Chronicles. First up is a new film called Abigail, and I'm going to do something I don't do super often, but I'm going to read you the official synopsis because I don't want to give anything away, but I don't know how else to summarize this film. So, after a group of would-be criminals kidnap the 12-year-old ballerina daughter of a powerful underworld figure, all they have to do to collect a $50 million ransom is watch the girl overnight. In an isolated mansion, the captors start to dwindle one by one, and they discover, to their mounting horror, that they're locked inside with no normal little girl. So, horror movies, not in my wheelhouse, right? If you've heard my reviews before, you know that this is not really my favorite genre, but I saw the trailer for this and I just was like, this looks so campy and absurd, and it gave Megan vibes, which I found a little scary, but also so ridiculous that I was like, ooh, this feels like it's going to be memeable, and I kind of want to get in on the conversation. Let's see what it's about. I think it does kind of fit into that ridiculous camp B movie sector. I don't think it's as successful as something like Megan. In fact, I'm sure after the success of Megan, they either fast-tracked this or, you know, already had it shot and they were like, get it out the door now. But it has its merits. It's from the duo who did the film Ready or Not, which I won't lie, I didn't see. Seemed too scary. So if you like that film, you will probably very much enjoy this. They are also the directors of the Scream reboot. So again, it's mixing typical classic horror with a little bit of absurdity in this one. It stars Melissa Barrera, Dan Stevens, Catherine Newton, William Catlett, Kevin Durant, Giancarlo Esposito, and the late Angus Cloud. And then Alicia Weir stars as Abigail. So this is one of those movies where I'm like, watch the trailer, and if you like the trailer, I think you will enjoy the film. It's super gross, it's pretty violent, it's utterly absurd, and, you know, there are definitely many, many, many things that could be tightened about it. There is a complete and utter lack of logic to a lot of the things. You know, I think they are truly trying to strike that balance, and not necessarily from a marketing perspective, but trying to strike the tonal balance of, you know, how do we be self-referential, and we know that the kind of genre of horror is shifting or is in like a different kind of era currently, and not that there's anything wrong with that, but you know, it's not necessarily everything is going to be straightforward classic horror spooky jump scare stuff. So I liked that this had a sense of humor. I thought the girl who played Abigail, you know, is, she's good. It's weird. I think where some folks might get caught up is not, you know, obviously you have to suspend your disbelief for a film that involves something that they might not appear. But if you are a fan of like horror genre tropes and such like that, and you like them having just a modicum of logic to them, especially some dealing with types of scary that like we've seen before and there are generally kind of accepted cultural rules around, you know, you might go like, what are they doing here with this a few times? But again, I don't think you're going to this because you're expecting hardcore horror. I don't think you're going to this because you're expecting something super serious. So if you adjust your expectations appropriately, I think you'll probably actually have a very good time at this. I was not expecting to. I mean, I was hoping to after how much I found myself enjoying Megan. So the fact that I was able to enjoy this, and you know, I am a huge scaredy cat. That's why I don't love horror movies. So I did have to cover my ears and, you know, crunch down a little bit because you know when the scares are coming, and that doesn't devalue the film, but you know, it's just for me, this is why I don't love the genre. But the other thing I will say is, you know, the absurdity of the performances, half the time it feels like a lot of them are in very different movies, and I want to say it works, but it doesn't quite. You know, there are a couple moments where it really works well, and then there are a couple moments that these are the moments I'm like, yeah, I probably would have trimmed those, where I'm like, were they on the same set or the same day? Do they have the same version of the script each? Like, there's two directors. Were they giving conflicting advice? It's just, you know, I think there's a world in which this could have been truly cult classic, like epic. And unfortunately, it doesn't quite get there. But for what it is and in the moment entertainment, I had a good time. So I'm going to give it a 3.7 out of 5. I'm going to take a quick break and be right back. And I'm back. The next film I have is the new Guy Ritchie film called The Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare. And ironically, much like horror films, I have a very mixed relationship with Guy Ritchie and his work. You know, a lot of it, I think his classic stuff, I'm like, cool, I see you have a point of view. I see you have a very distinct style. Like, I like what you're doing here. And then at a certain point, it just became repetitive and, it, you know, nonsensical, and people didn't push back in the script. Scripts didn't make any sense and the stories didn't make any sense. I was just like, what are you doing here, dude? And also, you know, sometimes I find his usage of people of color offensive. So this one, good news, doesn't quite fall into that. This is not a Guy Ritchie movie, I think is my biggest comment about this. It is based on a true story. They say that a bunch of Winston Churchill's, you know, military documents from World War II were declassified. And this is telling the story of some of those operatives. And just for a bit of fun context history, you know, one of the characters in it is actually Ian Fleming. And if you're familiar with Ian Fleming, he's the creator of James Bond. And so the idea being that these are, I guess, the characters that James Bond is based off of. Like, that's what the implication is here. So, okay, fine, no problem. That could be really, really cool. But I think, you know, in a good sense, they're not trying to be like, this is an Ian Fleming James Bond origin story. But in a not good sense, it's just, I don't care about any of the characters, right? I think the only investment I have is because once they introduced the Ian Fleming character, I went, oh, are we supposed to be looking out for James Bond Easter eggs? So I don't know. It's tough. And then to my earlier point, for better or for worse, Guy Ritchie's style is barely on this. Like, this is one of those films, I think Ready Player One is my greatest example of this, where Ready Player One is a Steven Spielberg film that feels like somebody who is making an homage to Steven Spielberg might have directed, but it doesn't need the actual director. And this, I think, is an even more watered down version of it. Like, it doesn't have his flair, or maybe there's like a few moments, but I could easily see somebody else's name being on this. And, you know, given the star power involved, it would have gotten made anyway. Like, it didn't need Guy Ritchie necessarily to get it done. Henry Cavill stars as the main man, I guess. So in some senses, there's his closest thing to James Bond. Aiza Gonzalez is in it. Henry Golding, Carrie Ells, Alan Ritchson, Alex Pettyfer, Hero finds Tiffin, Babs Olusson-Mokhon, Henry Zaga. And, you know, again, it's a good, decent cast. Although, much like Abigail, there are two different plots going on here. And some of that is a structural thing. And okay, fine. But I'm like, are they just not on the same set? Did they have very different shooting schedules? So there's like two different groups of folks and barely the twain shall meet, which I don't inherently have a problem with. But when you hype up an ensemble like this, you kind of assume that they're going to interact at some point. But just a side note. So if you're going in expecting like this huge everybody's together moment, it's a tiny spoiler, but not, you know, that's not necessarily the direction this is going. Stylistically, yes, has some of that Guy Ritchie violence. And I had a revelation while I was watching this. I was like, oh, the reason I think media in general likes to go over World War II stories and like tell stories from this era is because there is just such a black and white bad guy. Like the Nazis, it doesn't really matter how many of them you kill or in how gory a fashion or whatever it is, because they are the ultimate bad guys, right? So that is probably why we get so many stories set in this time, because it's like, cool, I want to extract basically like horrific acts of, and we'll say revenge, because Nazis are terrible. That's not an argument. But I'm like, oh, this is why we're constantly stuck in this time era, and why I think directors, especially of a certain kind of, who are interested in a certain subject matter, keep going back to this. Like a Quentin Tarantino gets to be like, I'm going to do some really creative and gross things, but you as an audience will still be on these characters' sides because it's being done to Nazis. And I'm not arguing with this point at all. I just, you know, had this moment of like, oh, we will never move on from history until we find another such a bad guy. And I hope sincerely that, you know, we never have to relive that. Although the modern era we live in gives me slightly less hope on that front. But I'm digressing. As a film, it's okay. I didn't have the worst time watching it. And again, I went into it with some trepidation because I'm not the biggest Guy Ritchie fan. But like I said, his fingerprints are kind of lightly on this, if that. So to me, that was kind of a bonus. But if you're going into this being like, I'm a huge Guy Ritchie fan and this is the reason I'm going to see this, I think you will actually probably be disappointed. If you are a huge James Bond fan, I don't think tonally this kind of strikes the suave. This is like the beer version of James Bond's martini, right? So it's like, ooh, this is supposed to be a sophisticated drink. These are the actual things it's based on. And they are being portrayed as a more down-to-earth, I'll say, set of characters. I thought it moved a little slow. Again, there's a lot of violence in it, but I didn't have a terrible time. So overall, I'm going to give it a 3.4 out of 5. The last thing I have is a new series called The Spiderwick Chronicles. And yes, this has already been made into a movie. And yes, this is based on a series of books. Now, I will fully acknowledge I had never read the books. I think they came around well after my time and I had not seen the film. So I went into this completely fresh. It's about a family. It's a mom and her three kids. And they move to a small town in Michigan to help one of the kids kind of deal with some issues they're dealing with. And they take up residence in this cool nature-y manner. And then the supernatural comes into play. It stars Christian Slater, who I feel like I haven't seen in a while, but I guess maybe it's just like Mr. Robot, Joy Bryant, Lyon Daniels, Noah Cottrell, Michael Lee, Jack Dylan Grazer, and Olivia Allen Lind. And while I think this is aimed at a more YA audience, I was pleasantly surprised how kind of dark it gets at times. And there's a lot of discussions around mental health and like not being believed, which is a very serious subject matter. And not that young audiences can't handle that stuff, but this isn't for little kids for sure. And then there's some like interesting flirting stuff with the adults in it. And I was like, if you think about the implications of what the characters are, I had a lot of questions. So this is not for little kids. I want to flag that right away. I think the Wednesday crowd will enjoy this very much. All of the episodes are out streaming on Roku now. I binged through the whole thing, which I didn't have to. I just, you know, was like, oh, let me keep going. I enjoyed the story. So Spiderwick Chronicles, I think it's worth a watch. That has been it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed it, we would love it if you could leave us a 5-star rating, a review, or even consider subscribing.